Y'all, hey, what's going on out there? It's Thursday, y'all, and welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk, and it's another day's journey, and I'm glad. I know some of y'all know that song, but anyway, we ain't gonna go too far into it, but yes, I am glad it's another day. I'm breathing. I got a chance to talk to y'all and hear your voices, so hey, it's always a good day. That's right. So let's have some fun. Well, let's see. I don't know. What we got going on right here today? They still haven't found that plane. And I'm telling y'all, you know, the longer it gets, the more I come to realize that plane is cloaked somewhere. You know, we talked about the cloak technology they've been developing, you know, over the years. And heck, why not? Why not go on and say it's cloaked now? They're using the technology to prove a point that they can make anything they want to disappear. Imagine that. They say cell phones are still ringing, which means something's going on, right? Right. So why not say it's cloaked? Sitting somewhere cloaked where nobody knows. Well, somebody knows, but hey, I'm just throwing it out there. Why not? Nothing else is working. The Chinese said they saw something floating in the water from their satellites. Well, come to find out, it was nothing related to the plane. So, once again, where's the plane? I know, right? You know, I don't care how many explanations they come up with. I don't care how many. The bottom line is this. Where is the plane? Once you find the plane, I guess all answers will be answered. But until then, the main question is, where is the plane? They can come up with all these great theories about what happened, this happened. And if you notice just a little bit, they're beginning to throw that key word out there. I don't know how many of you are paying attention. But check this out. They throwing that word around, terrorism. Now, we already know when they start throwing terrorists and terrorism around, they hiding something. That's the key word right there. That's one of them key words that you have to pay attention to. You understand what I'm saying? So now we got a plane out there. What has been, what, 6-7 days now? And we still have no idea where this plane is? Something seems to be, you know what I mean? Just make you go, I think it's cloaked somewhere sitting on the ground. Of course, you know, that's just my thought process on this thing, because where is the plane, y'all? Where is the plane? I don't know. You don't know. But somebody does. But, you know, they'd rather keep this intrigue and this stuff up, you know, so they can go on and do something else. Because I guarantee you, there's something else going on behind the scenes that they want to divert our attention from. And because they want to do that, what is a better way to make a whole plane disappear with 329 people on it, right? I know y'all are saying, well, that's just a conspiracy theory. Well, it may be. But from what, the bottom line comes in, where is the plane? And what do they have going on behind the scenes? And I guarantee it's got something to do with Russia, the Ukraine, and a couple other places. Y'all forgive me if I'm stepping out of line a little bit, but that's the way I'm thinking right now. You know, 6-7 days, you still haven't found one of the biggest planes that's made. And yet, you have no idea where it is. There's no debris, no bodies, no plane. Sound like some cloaking technique. Sound like some cloaking technique going on to me. And you know what, Divine, you may be right. You know, and that crossed my mind in the beginning. And I think when I first talked about this, I said it. Now, y'all may not remember, but I said it. How can 329 people get on one plane and the whole dang on thing disappear? I said it before. It may be the rapture. Hey, but what can you say? The plane is not here. You know, so I don't know. We'll have to find out. All right, you know what? That's my take on it. I'm not going to go too much further into it because y'all may think I've been drinking or I'm tripping or something. But I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm just throwing it out there as a thought process. You know what I mean? Something to get your mind to turning a little bit. All right, so that's what it is. That's where we are. But here it is. I want to give shout-outs to the chat room right now. Antoinette, my chat room coordinator in the house. She handling things. Divine Design in the house. Divine Design says she used to be in love with my voice, but she done put me down for JC. But it's okay. I still love you. All right. Okay. Well, that's a good thing. Ooh, okay. I like that. Let's see. We got Deep H2O in the house. Of course, we got guests 1917, 1924, 1930. Somebody in here undercover, but it's okay. Welcome to the show, y'all. I'm glad y'all made it. All right. All right. Now, before we go any further, we got to bring this lady into the company, into the den. And, like I always say, without this lady right here, the show wouldn't be as good as it has become. And I'm really grateful that she has graced my show with her presence and her knowledge, because that's why I made her my co-host. And I'm really lucky to have her, you know, as part of the Mr. Talk family. So without further ado, man, let me bring in my co-host, Sister Ngoni. Welcome, Sister Ngoni. How you doing today?
Thank you, Eric. I'm doing great, and thank you for being so sweet and kind and for having me. I just love being here.
Oh, well, I'm glad to have you, that's for sure. You add a special thing to the show. And without you, it wouldn't be the same. That's for real. That's coming from the heart. The heart, yes. But anyway.
You have me really curious what you were saying about the airplane, because I heard someone speaking last night about, and it's being reported out on the netosphere, about something called an E-bomb, some technology that can make planes completely disintegrate. However, your point about the cell phones ringing is kind of throwing me off. I know there was an incident several decades ago, maybe two or three, where there was a Navy accident that were experimenting on some kind of equipment, and they accidentally shot a plane out of the air, and it didn't come out until years later when it was declassified that that's what happened. So, but you're throwing me off with the cell phones ringing, because I don't, you know, if it disintegrated, I guess the cell phones would disintegrate too, right? you know.
But see, now you see the point, right? Mm-hmm. Now you see the point. Yes. You know, I'm going back to my cloaking technique. I think it's sitting on the ground cloaked somewhere. I really do.
Well, it might be sitting on the ground in Ukraine or somewhere, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I want to say greetings to everyone out there, and thank you, Divine Design. She says, I love you, Mr. Talk, and Mrs. Ngoni, and love, heart. That's sweet.
Oh, making me blush a little bit. Well, thank you, Divine Design. Uh-huh. She says she's talking sweet to us now until you know who show up, then we get kicked to the curb. But it's okay. We love you anyway. And we got Supernatural Radio in the house as well. Welcome to the show. So I just thought I'd throw that out there. I was looking at the news this morning, and that really crossed my mind about that plane. I'm like, okay, it's been 6-7 days, and we still have nothing to go on about this plane. Something else
but
is going
on. Russia, now this may be a far stretch, so, you know, just humor me for a minute, okay?
Okay.
You know, it's not been that long ago when they sent a ship from Iran towards international U.S. waters, and then Russia sent a ship towards international waters. So I guess they're trying to send a message. And then you got Mr. Psychopath Cheney urging Obama for a nuclear winter, says here. Reported on March 12th, a political activist and author says former U.S. Vice President Dick Cheney is urging a nuclear winter in his remarks against Russia. Quote, we could have mass annihilation. We could have a nuclear winter. We could have literally Armageddon. And this is what Dick Cheney is urging. It is an absolute lunacy, said Stefan Ledman, syndicated columnist and activist in a phone interview with Press TV Monday. As tensions between Washington and Moscow continue to rise over the crisis in Ukraine, Cheney, who was one of the major architects of the 2003 invasion of Iraq, appeared on CBS News Face the Nation on Sunday and said the U.S. should not take military options against Russia off the table.
Well, you know, I'm just going to put it out there. We all know that when George W. was in office, who ran the country? Dick Cheney. And we all know Dick Cheney is all about what? War. He doesn't care. He will nuke you. And he doesn't care what the collateral damage may be. You know, his answer to everything is nuke them. It's just that simple. You know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's really not a big surprise that he would say something like that. You know, because little as it known, him and George W. really didn't get along that well either, because they had a difference of opinion on a lot of stuff, the vision on a lot of stuff. So, yeah, you know, Dick Cheney. And it would be amazing somebody who has so many heart treatments and heart surgeries would continue to say, let's shoot up somebody, you know. It's just raggedy, man. That's just raggedy. But,
Say psychopath Dick Cheney?
Huh?
Did you hear me say psychopath Dick Cheney?
No, I didn't hear that, but that's a good name for him.
You were talking about the heart transplant. So, but you remember the Project for a New American Century, their website, I don't know if it's still out there or not, but it was plain to see on their website that they intended to dominate the world. What they used to call, you don't hear the term too much anymore, but they call themselves the neocons. Recall
mm-hmm.
that?
Yeah,
and
I recall that.
Yeah, they wanted to retool U.S. for their war machine and to dominate. They named the countries that they planned to dominate. And you remember General Wesley Clark spilled the beans and said that they had 10 countries, no, they had 7 countries picked out to attack over a 5-year period, I believe it was.
Wow.
Familiar?
You know, that sounds familiar. And I can believe mm-hmm. it. And you know what? Now that we're talking about it, it kind of rolls right into this narcissistic topic that we have going on this week. So, yeah. But, wow. Man, y'all see how that worked right on into what we're talking about this week? And I know without really, 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 really paying attention, but y'all need to pay attention to some things going on. But anyway, before we get too deep into this thing, you know, we got to go on and do the music and a couple of other things before we really dive right into the topic. But now we done gave y'all all the food to chew on in between time. So y'all think about this thing, okay? Y'all think about it, because we know what's really going on. And we're trying to enlighten some of our listeners as to what's going on also, because you need to know these things. You need to know these things. Now, you know, let's go on and put it out there like we did yesterday. We're not experts, okay? We're just sharing our thoughts and opinions with you as to what we think is going on, you know. So, you know, don't take us as experts, because none of us here on this show is our experts, none at all. But we are enlightened enough to pass on information that we find out to you to help you better understand the situation that we are, okay? Oh, Lord, I guess that makes a little sense. If not, I'm sorry, y'all. I'm trying to make a little bit of sense, but I just wanted y'all to know that little taste of stuff, okay? All right, so it's that time, y'all, for your Thursday music mix, and the director told me she got it going on today, and I can't do nothing but go with her on this one. So I know we're going to get it on. She's going to jam us out for a little bit. So we got 6 minutes of music. And then when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more, knock out a commercial, and then we're going to go come up with the quote of the day. All right, y'all. So without further ado, here it is, your Thursday music mix.
Yes, Naya. Cool, Naya. Who am I? It's just the girl, them sugar. All right. Here I know. Oh na 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 na. Oh na 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 na. Hey, Simsima, who got the keys to my bimmer? Who am I? The girls them sugar. How can I make love to a fella in a rush? Pass me the keys to my truck. Who am I? The girls them luck. And I we make love to press up. You a bubble can get red deep like a bucket. Drop in your niggas like your niggas be a stitch it. Drop in your oxen like a cow, you wanna chop it. Drop in your pickaxen like a gun, you wanna dig it. It's like a riverside up on the bank and you take it. It's like a bicycle so you hold it and that's it. So you watch it, so you crash it, say you tell you, say you grab it. Girl, she a beg you wanna ball, say to stop it. Batman plug in and me a move like a electric. It's like a basketball, she take time out to vomit. We listen to me fella, we will listen to me lyrics. I be in him and they me a drop it. I said, Sim-Sima, who got the keys to my bimmer? Who am I? The girls them sugar. How can I make love to a fella in a rush? Pass me the keys to my truck. Who am I? The girls them luck. And I we make love to press up. Anything she want, I will give it unto she. I can't believe the day my friend them tell me that she flee. I don't believe he's angry and I don't believe his grief. I don't believe it's Susan or the other girls I greet. Love for me to have, that is the only thing I need. I don't intend right now just to lose my main squeeze. Oh, Guantanamela, you a killer. Galileo, you a tea on me body under pressure. Man, see your body, I'll kill my sister. When your body right, just to know you got the power. But Sim-Sima, who got the keys to my bimmer? Who am I? The girls, them sugar. How can I make love to a fella in a rush? Pass me the keys to my truck.
Tell me, would it be blasting out the fantasy. Hey baby girl, and it's you are the key. Yo, because I then fuck me looking at me, I got me to say you want me. When you gonna give it up to me? Because your body enticing me, making me want it. When you gonna give it up to me? When you gonna today, girl, then I must see tomorrow. When you fulfill my fantasy, because you know I give you love is straight like an arrow. When you gonna give it up to me? So fuck it up there. So fuck it up, yeah, cause I wanna be the man that's really gonna have it up. I'ma kick up and rock it up, yeah. So I kick up, yeah, you know you got the vibe. And me as I develop and I swell up and double up, yeah. So give me the work, yeah, and rope in two fin for dirty looks and corrupt, yeah. So rev it up, nigga, go and try your luck, nigga. When you see it up, you know me, I'll be messed up, yeah. But you looking at me, I got me to say you want me. When you gonna give it up to me? Because your body enticing me, making me want it. When you gonna give it up to me? When you gonna today, girl, then I must see tomorrow. When you fulfill my fantasy, because you know I give you love is straight like an arrow. When you gonna give it up to me? Hey, pretty girl, some love to see you walk. Can I have black English, but this isn't when me a talk. This a one up for me, y'all. Woman, you got me caught. You ever in a me thoughts, and I left me in a the dark. In a the first place, girl, that's where you belong. So just let me flip this bitch, woman, I can turn it on. And give it a passion from dusk till dawn. Tell me if you want it, big one, my girl. Making me want it,
yeah, yeah,
when you gonna
yeah,
give
yeah.
it up to me? When you gonna today, girl, then I want it tomorrow. When you fulfill my fantasy, because you know what if you love it, change like an arrow. When you gonna give it up to me?
Up yeah, boom, 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 boom.
Come on,
boom, up it up then. Up yeah,
boom, 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 boom.
All right, y'all, man, that was your Thursday music mix. I'm telling you, we had some reggae going on up in the house today. I'm telling you, it had me doing them little them side dances and all that stuff they be doing, man. I'm telling you, I was just rocking. I was getting it on. Oh, man, all right. Man, I'm telling you, that's what I'm talking about right there. Man, boy, that's some good exercise music there. I don't know about y'all, man. You can get into that Zumba a little bit. Then you do a little salsa to it, you know, and then you can go on and get your little dropping it like it's hot on if you want to. Yeah, okay. I'm stopping now. I think I went a little bit too far. But anyway, oh, let's see. We had the Beanie Man, Who Am I? Then we had Corey Richardson and Red Man, The Q. And then Sean Paul featuring Keisha Cole, Give It Up to Me. Wow, I'm telling you. Man, it's amazing how you hear songs. You never know the real title of them till you hear them again and you research it. So, yeah, that's all right. That's all right. That's all right. That's all right. Okay. Anyway. Well, before we move on, co-host, how did you like the music today, darling?
It's good. You're expanding my music repertoire. You know, I'm not really into Jamaican, but reggae, I guess you'd call that. But it's nice.
I know, right?
It'll make
you move. It definitely will make you move. That's for sure. That's for sure. So, yeah, the music director did a thing. Got to give her props for that one. All right, but we ain't going to get the caps today. All right, y'all. Man, I'm telling you. Hey, you know what? We got an outstanding conversation already going on in the chat room, and that's what I'm talking about right there. So if y'all want to join us on the show today, just give us a call, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericlesstalk@gmail.com, or join us in the chat room, www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk, all one word, and get on in the chat room and hop on this conversation we got going on, because it's a wonderful, wonderful thing, that's for sure. All right. Well, It's about that time for us to drop a little bit more knowledge on you. That's for sure. But first, we got to knock this commercial out real fast. And when we come back, we're going to have my beautiful co-host dropping the quote of the day on you. All right? So we'll see you on the other end of the commercial. See you. Be right back.
Straighten out those problems with your credit. It doesn't matter if it's late payment, bankruptcy, collections, and more. At United Credit Education Services, we guarantee to have you straightened out in as little as 45 days. Give us a call at 580-678-8257. Ask for Dorsetta or go to www.myfes.net/ddavis23. That's www.myfes.net/ddavis23.
Baby, 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 let's straighten it out. Honey, let's straighten it out. Woo, baby, 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 let's straighten it out. Hey, y'all go ahead and give Dorsetta a call so she help y'all straighten out that credit. Because, you know, some of y'all done had bad credit since you was about 2 years old. Not to your fault, of course, but you know how some of us do. All right, that's all I'm going to say about that. Oh my goodness, I couldn't resist that one, y'all. I'm sorry, I'm feeling pretty good, so I couldn't really resist that. So it's all good, it's all good. Alright, are y'all ready for some knowledge to be dropped on you? And if it's anything like I read earlier, man, I'm telling you, she got one good one for you today. And I know she's warming up, getting the vocal cords going, because it's about to get ready. So without further ado, y'all, here's my great, great, beautiful, intelligent, sexy co-host, Sister Ngoni, with the quote of the day.
The bonds of culture are founded in the control of speech and control of the mind. When people are free to speak what they think, people learn wisdom at an astonishing pace. For cultures to succeed, they require imposed ignorance and cultivation of planned thought. That is by Jeremy Locke, author of The End of All Evil. And I'm going to have to put it in the chat room in two pieces, Eric, because it's so long. So there's the first piece.
Uh-huh. Okay. That's all right. Here's can work with it. Let's see. Oh, wow. That is a long one. But anyway, we're going to talk about it anyway. The bonds of culture are founded in the control of speech and control of the mind. You heard that? Founded in the control of speech and the control of the mind. When people are free to speak what they think, people learn wisdom. Ooh, when they free to, what they say? When people are free to speak what they learn, they think, people learn wisdom at an astonishing pace. For psychopathic cultures, it may keep jumping on me, y'all. Cultures to succeed, they require imposed ignorance and cultivation of planned thought. Wow. That's Jeremy Walker. Yes, ma'am.
I have to confess, I took creative license with that, in parenthesis, psychopathic. And the only reason I stuck that in there because I want to emphasize that for our conversation today about society and, you know, the topic of psychopathy and narcissism. And I want to also stress the word bonds, the bonds of culture. Bonds is the base word for bondage.
Ooh, continue on. Break it on down some more. Go ahead. Go for it. Go for it. Get busy. Go for it.
I really encourage people that are interested to check out that link. The book is, as I put in the chat room yesterday, it's a rare book. It was only pressed once. Today it cost $150 to $200, and I found it online in PDF form for free. It's 97 pages, and it's so enlightening about what's going on in society and what it means to fight for liberty and freedom and to live in peace and harmony, and how history shows that we are moving in that direction, as bad as things look. And he shows how in history, when back, you know, in the days of the kings and the queens, when people were all just peasants and they lived under feudalism, if the king or the queen put out an edict, well, you could get your head chopped off or whatever if you didn't obey, and you didn't have anything to say about it because they didn't allow, people didn't know how to read and write, and they couldn't articulate what they thought or how they felt in that way. And then he talks about how when the printing press came out, you know, that was another blow for freedom for people on the earth, because then information couldn't be controlled. Then he goes on up to modern times and talks about how, you know, the spread of information around the globe now is affecting the movement towards throwing off the chains of psychopathic control of cultures which are used to dominate and control people on this planet. This is the prison planet, and we intend to make it a free planet, right?
Yes, yes, yes. Without a doubt.
I hope.
Without a doubt. But first, before we can make it a free planet, we got to loosen up those minds, you know what I mean? We got to get them brains operating on the right level of the vibration so we can go ahead and make it a free society. But yet there's some of us that still still want to fight that. So that's why we're here. We're trying to open it up and try and help people. We help us get to the free society that we all supposed to be on. Okay, that sounded good though. I like that. That's all you got for the quote though. You don't have to add anything else. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead.
No, I was going to say I like the part. I really like the opening statement of that whole thing. You know, the bonds of culture are founded in the control of speech and control of the mind. And the reason why I'm saying that, because you can really get a good grasp on what that means by just looking at our society today. You know, there are certain things, even though they're supposed to be what they say, free speech, but there is certain things in certain areas where you can't say certain things, you know, and even when the media tell us stuff, they're still holding us hostage because we're not getting the truth out of what's going on. We're getting bits and pieces of what they want us to know to satisfy. They think they're to satisfy our curiosity long enough for them to go ahead and do what they really want to do. I mean, that's just my take on that first part of it. And I thought that was very interesting. But I may be wrong. No, I'm not an expert, but that's the way I felt the first part, what the first part meant, you know. And what you think about that?
Well, I hear what you're saying, and I think for me, the opportunity to share and to learn from other people's ideas in exchange for information, I don't look at, trying to tell anybody else how to think or what to think of information. Just sharing information is what I hear this statement is saying, that, you know, the ability to speak what you think. Now, like you said, you can be wrong. But then by the free sharing of information and ideas, we can learn from each other and we can grow and we can see what's going on in our environment. Because as he says in the book, it's very difficult for a person who's been enculturated and born and lived all their life in a particular culture to see the oppression in their own culture. And he points out, he being Jeremy Locke, he points out that culture is used by the ruling class to dominate people. So, you know, culture is not necessarily our friend all the time.
Oh, yeah. That is very true. Very true. Mm-hmm. seems lately they ain't been our friend at all. None of the time. But that's just my opinion once again. You know, we got an interesting conversation going on in the chat room. Jimmy the Bum says, psychopathy implies a criminal mindset, which is not a definition of narcissism.
Well, if you don't think Dick Cheney has a don't have a criminal mind, I don't know what to say.
You know, that's interesting. Really, it is. You know, because I think what Jimmy the Bum is really thinking about is the hard-nosed criminal, you know, that's in prison, more or less. And, you know, because when we say psychopath or psychopath, that's the first thing people come to. They think about those individuals that's out there, you know, doing horrible things, killing, on, you know, eating people and things like that. However, that is not the that is one version of what a psychopath is. However, there's another part that narcissist actually has in his repertoire as well. It's not about killing you physically, but you know that they kill you through their actions, controlling, you know, speech, you know, things like that. So, you know, if you going that version, you're taking a little bit extreme of what we're talking about as far as narcissists. That's all. But anyway,
well, Eric,
go ahead. Yes, ma'am.
Maybe perhaps it was, as it was suggested yesterday, that it might not be wise, but it's already been done now, to use psychopathy and narcissism in the same dialogue. But I want to remind us that there's a scale. And you made the point that maybe the bum, what is his name, Billy the Bum? No, Jimmy
yeah.
the Bum. Pardon.
Jimmy the Bum, yeah, Jimmy.
Yeah, if I understood you correctly, you were saying maybe he was thinking about the people that are out here killing and all that. Excuse me, but the biggest killers are not behind bars. They kill millions at one time.
Mm.
Yeah. They kill millions at one time. They starve whole nations to death with sanctions, and they drop bombs. They shock and awe innocent people, babies, old people, people that are not in the military. So those are the ones that are I would think, would be the extreme example of psychopaths. And they're not in jail, okay? They wear fancy suits, and they make lots of money.
Yes, they do. Yeah, they make a whole lot of money.
Mm-hmm. I hope, you know, using the terms together is not causing confusion. And one of the things that they do on popular movies is that's the only definition they show us of psychopaths. You know, like what was the name of that that one on television that was going around killing people? He was married, had a little baby. Anybody out there know? I don't watch TV, so I can't remember that.
I don't know.
He was a psychopath, and he would go out and kill people, but he was married, had a little kid. Somebody out there ought to know, but I can't think of it right now. But anyway, in popular movies and TV series and stuff like that, they show you that only view of what a psychopath is. So you don't think about the fact that somebody who plans to kill a whole nation is a psychopath. You know, it don't cross your mind. Because they have status, you know. They have cultural status and approval. Nobody questions that.
Right, right.
Oh, well, I wish I could find the name of that series that was on television. It was creepy, too. I couldn't watch it.
It was creepy? Oh, my goodness. All right. That's probably why I didn't watch it. But, you know, it's interesting that Jimmy brings that up, though, because what we're about to do now is bring H2O on the line. And, you know, we're going to talk about, we're going to recap yesterday's show, but we're going to look at it from the end of Hitler in Germany, you know, how narcissism worked in that situation, and bring it to the forefront of what we're dealing with today here in the United States. So I hope y'all got your pencil and pens ready. You know, take a little bit of notes, because once we get to talking about it, you're going to see the semblance of what's really going on, and it's going to wake some of y'all up. I'm not going to even tell no fib about that. So without further ado, let me bring in H2O to the line, and and let's get started. Mr. H2O, what's going on?
How are you, good people? Happy
Welcome.
Thursday to everyone.
Greetings.
Well, happy Thursday to you too, sir.
Yeah, so you lead and I'll chime in.
Well, you know, like I said, you know, we really want to take a look. We want to recap yesterday's show, okay? However, we want to kind of put it in, bring it to the from Hitler, the Germany, you know, narcissism, how that worked in that situation, and bring it to the forefront of what we're dealing with today here in the United States. You know, and I know, you know, you are very well versed in history as far as that kind of stuff. So, you know, we felt that you would be the perfect person to bring us from there to here before we get started with the rest of the today's topic, part two. Can you help us,
Eric,
out? Yes, ma'am.
Eric, can I
yes,
just
ma'am.
Say one thing here?
You can say a whole lot.
Well, no, you were stationed in Germany, and I know that N2K is very well versed in history, and I think he's the perfect person to help us understand how a country like Germany, which was highly educated people who had Jews living among them for three generations and intermarried with them, and when a psychopath named Adolf Hitler came along, he used language and he stirred those people up to believe that they were the supreme beings of the planet and that they had a right to kill and put those people in ovens. And we want to contrast how that happened in their society, how they walked around like normal, like we're doing now, and then we want to take a look at what's going on in America and see if we can see any of the signs of that happening right amongst ourselves. I hope that was
it right there. That's what it, now, because see, when I was over there, you know, they still had the wall up until, you know, I think when I got ready to leave, when they decided to tear the wall down. So, and you know, we actually had visits to the wall, and you can see it, you know, it was like, okay, you know, they say the wall was built to keep people out. But, you know, the way it was built, you can definitely see it was built to keep people in. Now, if you take – okay, this is just my opinion on this part. If you look at that wall running against the Mexican border, you know, it's really not kept to keep built to keep them out. It's built to keep us in. You know, if you really take a deep look into it, and it reminds me of that wall that was built in Germany. You know, that's just my opinion, of course, but I can only tell you what I believe and what I see. So we're going to let N2K, you know, take us a little deeper into it than that, and we're going to conversate about it and bring it on to today's, what we're looking at today. So, Mr. N2K, Mr. H2O, go for it.
all right, as far as Germany and Hitler is concerned, I think that when you guys are talking about the definition of words, and we have to keep in mind that in the world that we live in today, people are given what I call poetic license to change definitions to suit their own personal needs. So we have words that for years and years and years and years and years have meant a certain thing, and now they can mean that certain thing or they can mean other things. So first of all, it depends on where you are with that. I don't view Hitler as a narcissist per se, because narcissism has to do more with self than anything else. Hitler had an agenda. He had a military agenda. He had a political agenda. He had an economic agenda that involved the country that he was in, and how they were going to go about achieving this agenda, which for me goes far beyond narcissism, because you're talking about millions of people that are involved, not only the Germans, but the so-called Jews as well. So in that sense, when you start talking about groups of people, and when you start talking about nations, and you're talking about agendas and moving ideas forward and implementing them to where it affects hundreds of thousands and millions of lives, in my opinion, when you look at the definition, you have stepped out of the realm of narcissism, because it's not about you anymore. It's about a plan. It's about something that you are trying to achieve for either the overall good of the people or for a certain group of people. And along that path, you are not particularly concerned with the effects that it may have on those who oppose what you're doing. To me, that's in direct alignment with a psychopathic nature. You can disconnect from people. Whereas a narcissist has to have people to justify this grandiose either image or feeling that they have of themselves. They actually need other people, because it reinforces what they're thinking of themselves.
Well, let me ask you this real fast.
Sure.
But wasn't that part of Hitler's psyche with the high Hitler and all that good stuff?
No, that was I'm glad you brought that up. That's metaphysical. And I'm going to give you an example. When Martin Luther King won the Nobel Peace Prize, now they give you a medal in addition to the plaque. And I think up until, I don't know how many years ago, it was $1 million that you get for winning the Nobel Peace Prize. Now, interestingly enough, the medal that Martin Luther King was given was for science. A lot of people don't know that. Now, the question begs to be asked, why was he given a medal for science and he had nothing to do with science? Nothing at all. But that's the medal that they gave him. They gave him the one that you get for science, was the one that he got.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody know why that is?
No, I don't.
It's based on the metaphysical. When you have the power to galvanize hundreds and thousands and millions of people, okay, you're operating on a metaphysical level. Not a lot of people can do that. And we can enumerate the amount of people who have had that type of impact. Even when we look at Malcolm X, he did not have the magnetism that Martin Luther King had. Whether you agreed with the message or not, it's completely immaterial. We're just talking about what he was able to do. So those that know understand that he's operating on a metaphysical level. Okay? He's capturing the minds of people. He's playing the role of the wizard.
mm-hmm.
the warlock. Now, a lot of people will find this very, very far-fetched. However, until I can get a reasonable explanation as to why he was given the scientific medal when he was awarded the Nobel Prize, then I'll go with that. Also, in addition to that award, I also hear people talk a lot about Margaret Sanger. And what a lot of people don't mention is that in 1966, Martin Luther King was given the Margaret Sanger Award. Huh, that's interesting. Now, they say that she's a eugenicist, or was. They say that she was into, you know, that dark magic. However, he was given that award. Now, he didn't show up for it. His wife, Coretta, showed up for it and gave the acceptance speech. And anybody can look it up. Don't take my word for it. Margaret Sanger Award, 1966, was awarded to Martin Luther King Jr. So the point of me saying that in reference to Hitler, if you watch all of the, in America, they always inundate that. I was fascinated as a child when I used to watch all of those old films of Germany. And if you notice, when you watch them, most of the speeches that he gave were at night. Most of the speeches he gave were at night with fires and candlelight. And there would always be hundreds and thousands of people there. That's a lot of energy.
Yeah, and that is a lot of energy.
And when you can get people, just using it as an example, when you can get people to chant the same thing over and over and over again, what you tell them after that, their conscious mind is not even going to filter. It's almost like casting a spell. Now, we got to understand, Germany was an Orthodox Christian nation.
Hmm. Okay.
A lot of people forget that. Germany was an Orthodox Christian nation. What is the United States? Supposedly a Christian nation. There's a lot of parallels to what happened with Germany at the turn of the 20th century on through World War II that are going on here today. A lot of parallels. Not to say that, you know, we're going to, you know, be burning people in ovens and whatever, you know, whatnot. I mean, we would like to think that humanity has evolved since then, but we have proof otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Go figure. But you were going to say something. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was letting you go. I'm kind of perplexed right now because Germany was a Orthodox Christian nation. The United
yes.
States is supposed to be Christian, but we know how
correct.
That goes. So, so how do you get one person, and I'm speaking about Germany right now, to just dominate a whole country in that manner? You know,
charisma, power of the spoken word.
So there's no sense of signs of narcissism within that individual, you know, to put yourself up there so high to where you say everybody has to look at me because I'm the man, I'm the power, and you can't do nothing without me?
I'm sure that's a byproduct. For me, that's not the essence of it, because anytime someone is thrust into a position like that, they are making the sacrifice for the greater good of whatever it is that they're promoting. So in essence, put simply, they're willing to die for it. Now, of all of us who are sitting here right now, I guarantee you, everybody on one hand can name all the things that they're willing to die for. On one hand. It ain't a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
Not a whole lot. And I can guarantee you this too, of all of us who are sitting here right now, if we were told, hey, take this position, do this. It might cost you your life. Are you down with it? 99.99% of us would say, oh, hell no. I'm not doing that.
Wow.
You understand where I'm going with that?
Yes, I do.
So
in a sense,
yeah, narcissism is a byproduct, but then the bigger part of that picture is the fact that you know that you could lose your life in the process. So that takes away from narcissism right there, if you're willing to give up self, doesn't it?
Yes, but can we say that he really was willing to give up self?
Who?
We're talking about Hitler right now.
Sure. I mean, what does Hitler have? Let me just throw some names out there and tell me what they have in common. John F. Kennedy, Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey, Martin Luther King, Hitler, Stalin, Mussolini, Gandhi, just to name a few. What do they all have in common? They all have something in common, even though they're very different people. They were all willing to give up their lives for an agenda.
Okay. I can see all of them except for Hitler. I don't think Hitler ever thought he would just even have to worry about that because he was the man in charge.
Hitler was a Teutonic Knight, Mr.
Uh-huh.
Talk. He was part of a fraternal order. Trust me.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get to that position on a world stage thinking you're going to come out completely unscathed. You know better than that.
Okay. Well, yes, so, true. I mean, that isn't that why you place around you I guess, lack of a better word, security or people that are loyal to you and what you believe in, which helps build your persona or your inner, build you up to make you think you are greater or bigger than what you really are.
No.
And isn't that kind of what he did?
I don't want people who are loyal to me. If I'm down for the cause, I need people who are loyal to the cause.
Mm-hmm.
Because if and I'm going to quote Michael Corleone in The Godfather when he was talking to Tom, the lawyer, and they were plotting on Hyman Roth, and it was a very poignant dialogue in the movie. He told his lawyer, "If history has taught us anything, anyone can be killed."
Okay.
Let me repeat that. If history has taught us anything, anyone can be killed. Is that true or not?
That is very true. That
there you
is
have it.
Very true. That is very true.
And part of being on that world stage is you know that that's the chance, that's a reality of what you're doing. That could very well be the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
But you're willing to take that chance.
Wow.
And
that's a good point.
And you're willing to go for it. So I try not to. I mean, it's easy to extrapolate narcissism into a much larger picture, but I just think that when you're talking about true narcissism, when you put it on a grand scale, it gets rather diluted because now you're dealing with something that's bigger than you. It doesn't become about you anymore. If you look at Hitler, once he really got going, it wasn't about him because what he preached to the German people, and a lot of them didn't, to their defense, the average German didn't even know what the hell was going on because all the propaganda was pro-German. They were leaps and bounds ahead of every other nation scientifically at that time. He was preaching this whole master race you know, we're going to be the greatest people in the world. He had already had architectural designs for what Germany was going to look like in the future. So this is what he was selling to the people. Isn't that the same thing that they sell us in the U.S.? What a great nation we are, what great people we are, and how we go around the world ensuring that every place on the planet has the right to the democratic process. Don't we do the exact same thing here, just in a different way?
There you go. That's it. Yes, we do.
There it is.
Yeah.
There it is.
But hold on.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. No, I was going to say, hold on for a minute. Let me bring Brother Dry Bones in. He wants to get in on this also, and we can continue on. Let's see. Brother Dry Bones, welcome to the show, sir.
How you doing, brother? I hope y'all can hear me good, because I'm in the area where a lot of people are talking. So can y'all hear me good?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, good. Yeah, I was listening to the brother. Greetings to everybody on the line. Yeah, in some respects about the Hitler scenario, Hitler and them also, many don't even believe he was murdered. They believe all of them escaped to Argentina, and many of them believe that they all came to the United States as well. But as far as the narcissistic process, the Third Reich is a philosophy that is still ingrained in this world. It's still being permeated right now. And we look at some of the Germany, for one thing, let me just make this clear to everybody, they are the holders of most antiquity of African heritage. They have most of all the antiquities of African people. So right then and there it tells you that they're narcissistic on us. They've been studying us for thousands of years of now, and they hold up the biggest amount in these museums. Thirdly, he was a Mason. All of them were into the Fool Society, which was a mystical society, which they have. And he was also considered Man of the Year in Time magazine. Just going to show you that America was in cahoots with Germany all along. This thing about Germany and America, they're the same. There's nothing changed. They are the same entity. Narcissistic Europe has always believed that they were superior because of the white supremacy philosophy that happened in the 1600s and the 1700s as well. That was their goal, to make themselves higher. So, of course, you have to be a kind of a psychopathic individual to believe that you're the lesser of the people on the planet Earth, yet you believe you're the greatest. They're outnumbered 1,000 to 1, considered all the melanated people. So that goes to show you what type of people we're dealing with, that would know that they're outnumbered but say that they're the majority. So, yes, it's a lot of things going on. History does play a big picture in all this, based on the fact that what the brother was saying, that I don't consider Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and all of them in the same genre at all. I really don't. Malcolm X did not want to die, and I'm sure King did not want to die either, just like Jesus didn't want to die. So, I mean, you know, basically you're put against the wall when you take on that type of leadership role, per se, but no one really wants to go out there and say, hey, I'm dying for these people. I don't think they do. I mean, your whole goal is to unite our people, but mainly you don't want, once you're dead, and you understand this clearly, once you're dead, most movements end. And that's what happened with the one leader syndrome. When he's dead, everything goes. But not with this syndrome here. This thing with the Hitler has never left. So it's a philosophy. It's more bigger than we can imagine. Like the brother said, this is very big. It's permeated around the world. And in the, I think Sister Ngoni said, the neocons. The neocons are Anglo-Saxon agenda that they still are doing. Bush and Cheney are relatives, as well as Obama, are all relatives. This is a bloodline going on with this thing. And, you know, unless the people wake up to see the correlation with all this, we would be truly just taken out easily with this type of philosophy that goes on. So, you know, my opinion on this is that we are very unaware. Like the brother said, history is a very strange thing, and unfortunately we don't have ours. Ours is called a mystery. And he calls his history. And a lot of people, they're scared of a mystery. So that's the reason why I feel that a lot of this can happen to us easily, because we're so misinformed. And I'll let the brother comment on that.
Okay. N2K, you want to add anything to that?
In regards to the wanting to die, that was not the road I was going down. My point is that when you take on these different types of positions where, you know, you are being put in a position to where you're going to be of a group or a nation, this is part and parcel of what you're signing up for. Okay, that's like someone that goes into the military. You don't go into the military because you want to die. However, there's a very good chance if there's any type of conflict and you get sent over there, that's going to happen. But you do it anyway, knowing that this is a byproduct of what you chose. So that's what I meant in that regard to the bigger picture. You know that there is a sacrifice that's being made, and you're fully aware that that sacrifice could be you. I don't want to get into that, because to me, that's going to take away from the basic element of the conversation, which is the narcissistic element. And I had made a comment in the chat room yesterday, because one of the questions was, is it proper to use psychopath and narcissism interchangeably? And I just feel if you're taking the words for what they are definitively, no, it's not proper. However, anyone can take any two words and use them interchangeably. Does that make it correct? Not necessarily, but you can do it. You can do it. And Jimmy brought up a good point of a narcissist. I'm sorry, I might not even be getting this right. I think Jimmy said a narcissist can be a narcissist can either be psychopathic or a psychopath could be, but a psychopath is not necessarily narcissistic. Jimmy put that back in there, but you get the gist of what I'm talking about. And I mean, let's look at our present day president, Obama. Is he narcissistic? Now, I think he would be a example to actually look at in terms of narcissism. I think he is more than he is psychopathic.
Interesting.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Well, y'all agree with that? Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
all right.
Go
ahead.
Are you still online? We're basing mainly leaders on the narcissistic platform more or less than these, you know, minor individuals, based on the fact that they yield so much power. So that's where I'm looking at it myself, because I know that most people may have some narcissistic trait in them. I don't know, you know, to the extent that all of us may, but I'm looking at the ones who can go and kill somebody, a whole tribe of people, for some minerals, and then go have a big steak dinner and say, hey, we're successful. We're going to put this on the New York Stock Exchange. You know, to me, these are the people that are supreme narcissists that can totally devalue a country and starve out a people and at a blink of an eye and have no problem whatsoever doing it. That, to me, is what we're dealing with. The little minor traits, I think maybe, you know, I think me and Nagonia discussed this one time, you know, we might all have it, but if you care about anything and people, you're not really a narcissist. A narcissist is one who can't even be told he's wrong. He'll try to kill you if you tell him he's wrong. So we're dealing with that seems to be the political realm to me that we're dealing with more so than anything. That in the military realm, those who will perpetrate. I don't know if y'all can hear me good, because I'm in a place where it's getting louder, so I don't know if I'm disturbing everybody Am I able to? I don't want to be making loud noises for y'all, but that's where I'm at with this thing, because we cannot actually survive unless we confront this condition that is being permeated around this world. I mean, people are killing right now in the Congo just so we can be on the cell phone. I mean, they are murdering millions so we can have cell phones, televisions, and computers. And then I don't know what degree that makes us for knowing about that and don't have any sympathy to say what the hell is going on. So maybe we are part of the narcissistic platform that they have. Maybe television got us to be that way. Because we're insensitive to a lot of things. I know that much. As a people, we are totally insensitive to what's going on in this world.
Wow. Both of you have said a whole lot. And I'm really hoping that the listeners are really listening to what's being said. You know, and hey, y'all need to do a little research on your own. But let me bring this lady in. She's been waiting patiently. So let me bring this lady in.
Ooh, hello.
Hey.
Hello,
Miss Lady.
Hi. I hear a lot of noise in the background.
Well, it's okay. We got it taken care of. How you doing?
I'm okay. You know, I've been listening about 10, 12 minutes, and it seems like you're back to defining what narcissism is and how it affects people in the world. And I just like to say that there is a psychiatric diagnosis. It's under personality disorder, I think, or behavioral disorder. And there's a whole list of traits. If you could get the psychiatric diagnosis for narcissism personality disorder, you will see what are the characteristics of someone who behaves as a narcissist. And a lot of them have been talked about, such as not caring about anybody else's feelings, the inability to have empathy, being highly insecure and covering that up with a lot of arrogance. Basically they're energy vampires that they are. So they're going to take and take and take. We're just, the rest of us are just, energy for them. And what they will do is completely, you better recognize and get away from it, because they will take and take and take and never give, only to the extent it's going to benefit them. And you will be left drained and just with no energy, having all kind of problems, from physical to financial to emotional, if you let them feed off of you. So I think it's kind of like a continuum. Like there's some that have mild traits, and then there's all the way up to the psychopath that has their brain is so constructed in the way that they are unable to feel any kind of compassion or empathy. Unfortunately, it's an organic problem, and so there you have the serial killers and those kind of people. But I think, I think what the last caller was saying, that everybody is interconnected to everybody else. You cannot divorce yourself, thinking you're insulated and isolated. I think some of us are insensitive, but then we also recognize, what can we really do about it? What can we do about the mutilation of Congo, Congolese mutilating other Congolese? What can we do when we're here trying to maintain our living? So a lot of people, they're not thriving. They're just surviving on the day-to-day. So the powers that be know that everything's been orchestrated. You only have so much time and energy to devote to certain things. And, if most of that is gone toward, taking care of yourself and your family, then you don't have much else to give. So it is what it is, but, if you have compassion and empathy for people, you are not a narcissist. And if you believe and honestly you do things for people and you help people, not because you want anything back, because that's who you are not a narcissist. But I think there's it's from a mild, that the people might have mild narcissism all the way up to full-blown psychopath.
Okay. Well, both of the brothers, you know, we were talking, we started off worldwide, you know, comparing Hitler to what's going on today. And both of the brothers say they feel that President Obama is basically narcissistic. Would you agree with that, or do you have a different view?
Well, no, because I don't think he is, because you know why? Because he appears to have traits of compassion and empathy. When they wanted to cut who were unemployed off at Christmas time a year or so ago, he stepped in and said no. And he said, this is not right. You know, they need an extension. We're not going to put these people on the street. You know, and so no. I mean, you know, he's working within a system. He doesn't control much of anything, but he's trying to maneuver through through a setup and a system. And I don't expect him to be able to do. I mean, we all know what he's up under. The tax. They say he and his family have had more death threats than anybody sitting in that on a daily basis. And I thought about it. Remember when they let that couple in there to that party, and she became on, I can't remember her name, but she was on a reality show. That's letting him know. Listen, I thought about that. We could get you. I mean, these people are sitting there taking pictures at the party with the president smiling. They didn't have any invitation. How did they get past security? That's a strong message, even if it wasn't intended. Hey.
Want
to be next?
Oh, wow.
So he has to do some things I'm sure he doesn't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
He loves his wife and children, right? And his mother-in-law, right? And himself. So what do we really expect him to do? I think we individually have to take on and do the best that we can to help.
Well, I mean, that's all good in theory. However, if you're dealing with, and this is my opinion, of course, if you're dealing with a country that's led by a narcissist, and you have a whole lot of other narcissists, quote unquote politicians, you know, is there really a lot you can do?
Well, the corporations are buying the politicians, the lobbyists. They're running it. There's no senators running anything. The corporation and the powers that be are running it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Uh-huh. And they're there to do the bidding. If they want to keep in power, if they want to keep that seat with those benefits, if they want to be called Senator so-and-so, you know, and everybody stands up when they enter the room. You know, if they want to have, you know, status. And so when they leave, when those Congress people leave, they're seen as millionaires. They're all of them, you know, in the past, they weren't millionaires going in. And then they get on multiple boards, and they get a lot, you know, they get paid quite a bit. They get all kinds of personal benefits, retirement, forever. You know. So, you know, hey, take your choice.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm looking in the chat room. We got some stuff coming out. It says one of the symptoms is contempt toward others, feelings pathologically lying. Let's see. And that kind of all of them. Very adept at manipulating others. You know, I don't miss some of it, a lot of it, though. But
sounds like
just,
a pit. The pit mentality. Just think of a pit.
Mm. Uh-huh. Complete.
They're energy vampires. Let's think about it. What does a pimp do? He does all of that. He's abusive. He takes and takes from those women, gets them hooked on drugs so they'll be dependent on him to keep making money for them. That's an energy vampire and really a psychopath. It's beyond narcissism.
Okay. You really think it's okay. You put that other word in there.
Really, what could be larger than that other than a pedophile? Really.
Well,
you know, to destroy somebody else's life and having them, you know, they get those demoralized, low self-esteem girls and get them you know, they know exactly what they're doing. And most prostitutes have been sexually abused and very mistreated growing up. And now you're just adding 100-fold to their spiritual, emotional, psychological pain. I don't care, you know what. And then you get them hooked on drugs so they can keep, so you can keep feeding off of women, out of broken women. When you should be there to try and restore, you're feeding, just like piranhas, just like sharks. You know, it's just sad to me. You know, but that's a whole going off in another direction. But, you know what, I don't expect anybody to do anything. It's best to recognize who people are and deal with them at that level. So if you're dealing with, because there's a lot of narcissists and psychopaths who are positions of power, especially in employment situations, because they crave power. They want to dominate and control other people, manipulate it, gets them going, gets them up for the day, makes their day. So, you know, you better know how to deal with them, because you step on their toes unknowingly, you are in trouble, because they have a very, very fragile sense of self-esteem, and it's really, they don't, very low. But it's, and they will be upset and threatened when somebody with real self-esteem steps through the door. So you better know what to do and how to protect yourself, because they will destroy you. There are spouses also that are narcissists, right? Family members, so-called friends. Whenever you're around somebody and you feel drained after being with them, they're energy vampires.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, if we look at it like that, basically, hate to say it, but you can say basically that's our government. Without, you know, that's the government, because they're draining the population into believing and into doing and doing what they want to do. But before I go any further, let me ask the brothers if they have anything. Hey, my co-host, she's been kind of quiet. You know, if they had any responses to what Miss Lady said. Okay.
I've just put a lot of stuff in the chat room and had myself muted out so you don't hear my talking. So let the brothers go ahead. Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know if I'm. She's correct in a lot of the way she was explaining. Yeah, a narcissist is to me is so pervasive. It's very hard. But my major concern really is the individuals that we are around. Some of those characteristics are around so many, like she said, relatives. Some relatives get upset easily if they're told they're wrong. I mean, to the point of violence. But on a larger scale, the people who are in power, they have the power to inflict injury on people. So this is another thing that we have to look at. But how I wonder how, you know, we look as a people who are basically going along with it. You know, that's the big concern. You know, where are we at as a people that will watch us be controlled by narcissists? That, you know, this is where I'm looking at it. You know, that's why we're probably reaping what we sow from the fact that we say nothing and we go along with it. I mean, the murder that's going on a daily basis, you know, we have no empathy at all. I mean, we say we do, but Once the door closed, we do nothing at all about what's going on. Children are missing on a daily basis. Body organ parts are being sold all around this world, and we're just happy. As long as we can have a beer and maybe get our hair done and toes, and we're fine. That to me, that might be more narcissistic than the leaders.
But it's not right. It's like
okay, I understand. I got you on that one. Let's see. Mr. Knowledge, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, sir.
Okay, would you like to add anything to it?
Nothing at all, right? And mine was like,
agree with what you just said. However, I mean, I don't know if it makes us, I mean, you could debate whether it makes us more narcissistic than those who are in the, you know, who are in power. Because usually people, I'm a firm believer, in order to be in powerful positions, like that or anywhere in the world, you have to be psychopathic to a certain degree because it takes a lot to get there and it takes even more to stay there. It's very difficult for somebody to reach those heights just on the good graces of either their personality or having some type of benevolent spirit. These are things that we like to romanticize about. But in reality, when you're dealing with human beings, which are very dynamic in nature, more times than not, that's not going to happen. I think what he said is a very good example of how the general public has, over time, become narcissistic because those things are very true. How as long as we have whatever it is that we need, we are not as concerned about people who could be given a great injustice or being treated, you know, the wrong way. I mean, we might see it and empathize, but, you know, as soon as it's off the TV screen or they switch the subject, you know, we move on to something else. So I would tend to agree with what he's saying. Now, the Obama piece that Miss Lady was talking about, he's a politician like any other politician. I don't like politicians. Never have. And I remember when Obama was running for office, I told my mom as soon as he was elected, I told my mom that he was going to win a second term. That was when he first won his first term. And her biggest fear was him getting assassinated. I was like, there's no way that's going to happen. We've evolved from that. We don't assassinate presidents anymore. We can just run them out of office or, you know, whatever the case may be. We don't just shoot them down like we used to. So, yeah, the Obama thing, I don't even want to comment on it. You're talking about a guy whose first political position was under Henry Kissinger, who didn't even finish his first term as a senator and won the presidency. And that's unprecedented in this country. You got to be well connected to pull that one off. Very well connected. You know, you're talking about how many... All the white presidents we've had, none have pulled that move off. Not a one. You didn't even finish your first term in office. You didn't even finish it. Next day, you're president. That's unbelievable. That just goes to show you the power that's behind him. A lot.
That's right. That's a lot of power. I agree with you, brother. People don't even realize that the people behind the scenes here are, and I don't never say Jude, I call them what they are, the Khazarian Empire, who is running the money game here, and those who are financially. You see what Obama did when he first came in office. He gave the money immediately to Wall Street, another psychopathic group of killing machines that goes around the earth selling off all sorts of land and so forth and people. And he gave them billions of dollars that are today it's not even accounted for. So, I mean, I understand people say, well, he can't do much, but then what is he there for? If we can't make an intelligent assessment of what's going on, then we don't even need to vote or we don't even need to be talking about him because, you know, he's there because that's the one we're supposed to be in charge of, this so-called corporation. So, yes, we should be able to discuss him intelligently. I'm not going to put anything on him that he did not do, but I know for a fact he has not done anything that was positive for us as a people. He has put in more draconian laws than most of the presidents. All he did is father Baby Bush and Daddy Bush. He's an extension. It's just another extension of psychopathic agenda. And Goni said earlier, it's the neocon agenda. They have never got off of that agenda. And so, you know, in a lot of ways, they are very much following their path. We are the ones that I'm afraid of because we are, what I would say, so disconnected with reality that we will fight each other. I've seen people get mad just talking about Obama. I mean, to the point where you're like, well, give me some facts that he helped us. And they have no facts. But they'll go crazy because, oh, the man, give the man a chance. Give the man a chance to what? To put us in a more debt. I mean, you know, this is where we're at, but they can't tell you anything other than emotion. And that's what the psychopaths who out here, they deal with emotions because they know how to make us do certain things. I'm going to make a brief point. And the brother said earlier about war. The war, if you look at words, and he said something very deep. They said sacrificing. The first thing that's called is called the infantry. Infants mean a baby mind. So they automatically know that we're going to kill the baby mind first. And they put us out there first because you are infant. You have no understanding. And those who get understanding, they rank, they go up in rank. They don't even see war. They don't even see none of this stuff that goes on out there. Only the infant, the infantry. So they are very smart in their approach. They're not when we call them psychopaths, that does not mean they're dumb. Or we call them narcissists. That don't mean they're dumb. That means that they take on a characteristic that is just overwhelmingly diabolical. Period. They have no compassion whatsoever. So they're at the baby killing. That's what they call the infantry, and that's why they have no problem killing kids. I mean, if you knew the amount of drone planes that Obama has allowed to kill so many civilians, I can pull up tons of information on that. But here we are again. We are defending him in so many circles, so that makes us more psychopathic than him himself. And I'll just leave it on that.
All right. Had myself muted. Wow, man. I mean, when you look at all that, I mean, man, you know what I mean? What can you say? I mean, really, what can you say?
Can I say something? That's a big stretch to say because you defend somebody. That makes you a more of a psychopath than a psychopath. What, that doesn't
well,
make
if you defend,
rational,
you defend a killer, if you're going to defend a killer, what that makes you, sister?
You know what? That doesn't even make any analytical sense. That's a big leap. People could be defending somebody due to ignorance or whatever, but please don't put everybody in the same category. That's
all I'm
going to
say is I'm generalizing. I'm generalizing, of course, but I'm saying is if you're defending a killer, one who kills, what does that make you, sister?
You know what? I'm not going to even argue about that. That's just too
big
of a leap.
Okay, see, that's what I'm saying.
And that's really generalizing people. Like I said, people don't have all the information. They have this particular information. And to say that that makes them, because they're ignorant, that makes them a psychopath. You know, that's what you're saying. You're saying anybody that defends somebody is
I'm
a psychopath.
If I gave you facts,
that's a big leap, and it's not doesn't even make sense analytically.
If I gave you facts, I've shown you that he gave the bankers money without giving the people money. If I show you that he's killing kids, if I show you that he's going against the Constitution,
then you need to look at the definition of a psychopath.
If you're going to go along with the psychopath, what does that make you? That's all I ask. Can you give me an answer? What does that make you, a person who goes along with a psychopath, what does that make you?
Well, we seem to have lost her, so. Yeah.
That's the problem. We're losing them every day. Because facts hurt people, man. Truth is a serious thing, and I'm going to leave it at that. Truth can hurt. It doesn't mean it makes you feel good. And that's the problem. People want to feel good all the time. So when the truth comes out, you know, they get mad. That's another definition of a psychopath or a narcissist. He can't accept truth. He'll get upset. Instead of saying, you know, thank you, man, for giving me that information, sister, thank you, man, I appreciate you for giving me that so I can look that up. No, they get enraged to the point where they want to hurt you. I'm sure y'all seen that. I'm sure I'm not the only one who has witnessed people getting enraged for you telling them some truth.
Well, Drive Holmes, can I chime in here a little bit in regards to the feathers getting ruffled about the question of whether Obama is a narcissist? If you may recall when he made a comment about, and this is just one of many, he said, they'll never see him coming. And he said, oh, you think I'm joking? He said, I'll say one word, drones.
That's
two words.
Right.
Drones. And after that, a 16-year-old boy was murdered after his father was murdered with drones, who dined at the White House, who was implicated in 911. Then there's another example. Just recently, there's a clip being played of him saying that, you know, he has a pen and that he has the power of the executive office and he would just get things done on his own. Well, that's a dictator. Now, I don't know if dictator means you're a narcissist, but it seems like to me that's wanting domination and control over other people. Some reporters just interviewed him recently when he was walking. I don't know if he was walking to his plane or to the beast, his vehicle, but they asked him how it felt like to be a king, and he said it feels good to be able to do what you want to do. Those are indicative of kind of dictatorial or narcissistic kind of tendencies for a man who's sworn oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States.
I would think so. And here, that makes sense. He swore oath twice, which makes you wonder what that was all about. And he did it with Justice Roberts in another location at the White House, but his first oath didn't count. So, you know, we got to really look at some of the things that are going on here that have never happened before. You know, first time a president has to take a double oath. Then we got a first time he signed more executive orders than any of the presidents thus far. And the people don't understand what executive order is. I mean, executive orders means that I could give a damn about the Republicans and Democrats. I'm signing anything I want and taking over control. That's a dictator. You're almost in, we're in communism as we speak, but we can't even see it. So to me, the most fearful people is those who love this. I'm more scared, like the brother said, I'll say, those who follow this agenda are secondary psychopaths. You know, they're the ones that go as the henchmen. You got to have a hench group to pull this off. And those that are watching it and will argue with the people who are coming with facts to show you that something's not right, I'm still trying to figure out what are you? What are they? Because they're dangerous.
Thank you for that feedback. And I would just like to, you know, I can't prove this, of course. This is just my point of view for whatever it's worth. You raised the issue of the two swearing ins of the how do you say, what did you call it? I've been typing
swearing
and I'm finding at the same time.
Yeah. He got swearing in.
My theory is that it was two because, if you notice, one was public and one was private because there's a public side and a private side. And
there's
an organic republic and then there's the U.S. corporation. There you go.
That's right. And he did it right in the room with Justice Roberts, the same one who was who voted for he's supposed to be a liberal, and he ended up voting for what would be the Obamacare. And if you think about it, if people don't realize, I used to have it on the site, the picture that he's in front of in the White House on the second swearing in, he's in front of the Grand Master of Washington, D.C., of the 1800s, of the York Rite. I don't understand how anybody can't see this, what's going on. We're being taken over by a group of Nazis, period. Yeah, I don't care about skin color. Nazism is a philosophy. They are taking over, and they're doing it strategically on every level. And I'm waiting to see how this Russia thing plays out and see how many people will act like if they don't see it. But, you know, many of us realize they've been showing us Russian commercials. I'm going to give you one example, and I'm going to let somebody else speak. There's a commercial where Robin Williams has a Snicker bar, and he's going fanatical. And he says, "This is for Mother Russia." And they take the Snicker bar, and he bites into it. Next thing you know, a black man is the coach.
Wow.
Many of y'all have seen that commercial, I'm sure, with Robin Williams saying this about Mother Russia with a Snicker bar. They're subliminally giving us these scenarios. And I don't think anything's going to happen in Russia because Russia and America have always been in cahoots together. Matter of fact, if you do not notice, everybody, history proves that Russia helped the United States during the Revolutionary War. Just look it up. It was Russian soldiers.
Yes, Dry Bones, that's true. But I think we have to bring out the point that even my grandfather, I remember telling me when I was way younger, or I heard them talking, and the adults talking, that Russia was never an enemy of the United States. And that, you know, he was talking about World War II. However, the important thing to remember is that all wars are bankers' wars.
That's That's right.
Now, the United States just spent $5 billion sending mercs over there in this situation over there in Ukraine. $5 billion. This is documented. Okay? So, yes, they may not be enemies, but all nation states are just pawns of the international bankers. Would you have comment on that?
No, the international banking is definitely, ever since the Bolshevik War, the Bolshevik Revolution, that's been going on. Anywhere you have international banking cartels, you're going to have revolution. We just have been, I hate to say it like this, but they're just winging us into whatever they're doing. It would behoove the American, it behoove the people, I hate to say American, behoove the people who are here to wake up to what is going on with the Federal Reserve System. They're offshore cartel. They don't have anything to do with this government other than trading of people. And I'm using that lightly. They trade people on a daily basis. And so this is where we're fighting. Our main enemy, really, and I'm not a politician, a lover, but at least Ron Paul did say that the Federal Reserve was the worst thing that could ever happen. Now, if Obama would have said that, I'll probably be on his side right now, but he never mentioned the Federal Reserve being an enemy. So I know right then and there he could not be speaking truthfully. So this is where that's my position. Like I said, I don't know it all, but I use facts that I've been given, and I research it to make sure I'm not just running my mouth. And the facts are that the Federal Reserve is the most dangerous entity on the planet Earth.
Yes, and I thank you so much for sharing with us your insight and your knowledge about the history of Germany, because it was our goal, you know, to be able to focus on and contrast the two societies so that we can look in this society today and see whether we see the evidence that, you know, with FEMA camps. And you say those words, and a lot of people think, oh, you're tin hat foil wearing conspiracy theorist, but I challenge all the listeners and the people on the show, go do some research, because it's been by congressmen and others of reputable reputation that these things, and they're in operation. There's also been pictures and documentation of trains with chains inside, and there are incinerators that they spent billions of dollars on around this country and installed in California and other states. I personally saw tanks in Indianapolis, Indiana, in and out of a suburban area. Tanks, okay? So we better wake up. We better look around what's going on, because we don't have to repeat history. We don't have
no, we
to.
No, we don't. We sure don't.
Yeah,
I want everybody to know that the body organ cells, they are now talking about, y'all can look this up, of using, instead of using lethal injection and electrocution, they're going to go back into the guillotine. Because the guillotine, you are still able to harvest the body parts, because the head will be dead, but the body can still function. So just think about what they're telling us. You know, they're going into saying, hey, your bodies are so important, we're going to, even in death, we're going to make money off of you. And that's what they're doing. They're going to change up, I read the reports, and lethal injection messes up your body parts instead of electrocution. So the fact that they're thinking about selling our body parts is should be a tremendous a wake-up call to everybody, especially with all the missing black people in the U.S. that is being missing and not being found. So, you know, they don't make movies for nothing.
Oh, okay. You're right. And I've been saying that for a long time about movies. You know, a lot of people think the movies be science fiction, but they actually are true, you know,
right.
And very true. So I say it all the time, you know. Watch what you're looking for, because you'd be surprised. But I see, let's see, law enforcement, interesting. He has his hand up, so let me bring him in. Okay, and first-time caller, so let me give a little love to him, and we're going to go ahead and see what he got to. All right.
Yeah, how you doing? I've been on the call before.
You?
This is Brother Kimber. I know Sister Ngoni and Brother Drybones. I've been on the show before. greetings. But anyway, I just wanted to first express my sympathy to the sister that hopefully she got disconnected. I think she may have hung up out of anger. But, you know, we're going to have very, you know, different opinions and ideals. I don't think there's no reason to hang up. because we can all learn something. I mean, we're not we want to go by the facts as much as we can, but all of us working together, we can definitely draw a conclusion much more concrete if we work together and have these open discussions. And, you know, so I hope if that sister's still listening, you know, you should come back on and, you know, entertain this discussion no matter how heated it gets. As a matter of fact, it's better that we all have differing and varying opinions and ideals, because that's how we learn and get to a better understanding or overstanding or understanding of what's going on. But I've been listening to some of the conversation, and I hear people talking about, first of all, Hitler, and I probably differ with a lot of people on this phone on Hitler. I consider him to have indulged in some heroic endeavors as well, because he did, when he came to power specifically to fight against the Bolsheviks and the spread of communism from Russia into Germany shortly after the 1917 revolution that was led by the Zionist Ashkenazi Jews, fake Jews or whatever you want to call it, out of Russia, being influenced by Karl Marx, Frederick Engels, and then carried out by Trotsky and Lenin, and sustained by Stalin and others. I think that we talk about narcissism. I don't hear anybody say anything about these narcissistic Jews who introduced this so-called Rothschild banking system to this country, who financed the Bolshevik Revolution, who brought Hitler to power, and then ultimately destroyed him when he went against them, just like Saddam Hussein and others have done throughout history. And knowing that, and that's based on factual information, okay, Hitler is the one that helped the Jews, and they used him to help set up the State of Israel, and they faked the Holocaust. And if you don't believe me, you can read Arthur Butts or either Edwin Black, The Transfer Agreement, or the hoax of the 21st century being the presumed extermination of German Jewry. I think that these elements need to be examined, no matter how how ridiculous they may sound. But we cannot just take history and say that this is the truth. There's revisionist history out there that has some element of truth to it as well. And if you want to talk about narcissism, let's talk about these Zionist Jewish bankers in the Rothschild dynasty. If that doesn't express the highest form of narcissism, who control Obama and who control every president that's been in that White House and who control governments not only in the United States but around the world. Around the world, they control them through money. And then they have them carrying out horrific acts over the massacre of millions and millions of people throughout the world. But ultimately, I think the real contradiction is us. Us, we the people, because we bring these people to power. We bring these people to power, and because we're not governing ourselves accordingly, we allow these type of entities to get to these high realms and positions, and then we don't want to just sit up and blame them. I agree that they should take responsibility for their actions, but we need to look at ourselves just as critically and say, look what we've done. Look at these powers that we've put in place. And if we put them in place, then we've got to get rid of them to be able to make this world a better place. These people are not that powerful that we can't do something as a united front to turn these contradictions around. And I think, you know, that's something that we should strongly consider. I mean, I want to see some self-criticism. I want to see each and every person on this phone, even myself, be highly critical of even ourselves for allowing these type of maniacs to get to the position that they're at. I don't care if it's some people say Martin Luther King or Gandhi or Hitler or Stalin or whomever, Mao Zedong, whatever. But the point is, the people are not innocent here. The people have allowed this to happen because we are laying around, we're ignorant, we're not trying to seek out alternative views. And I don't want to say the ultimate truth, because I think all of us working together will get to the ultimate truth. I don't think any one person has the ultimate truth. But all of us working together, bringing various ideals and suggestions to the table, we can get somewhere. We can, you know, I don't want to dominate the conversation, but I did want to, you know, say something about that. So I'll shut up now and hear somebody beat me up.
Free Kimba, greetings for being here. And
Goni,
how are you today?
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm good. Thanks for your contribution.
No problem.
I have a question for the brother. I don't want to beat him up. I just have a question.
No, go ahead.
Okay, he's given us this hypothesis that the Holocaust didn't happen.
Right, right.
Okay. Based on that, without even getting into anything particular, can you prove to me that the transatlantic slave trade happened?
I can put it this way. Let me say this. Okay.
Yes or no?
If the Holocaust happened,
there were
44 million people that died in World War II. Why are we just concerned about 6 million people? And in addition to that, when the Bolsheviks came to power in Russia in 1917, they killed 65 million Christians, and nobody shed a tear over that. But we sit around and shed tears over the Holocaust, and then we have books out there to dispute the legitimacy of the Holocaust written by Jews themselves.
Okay.
I'm not saying that it didn't happen. I'm saying that we should read this other material.
Okay.
Based on the material that I read, I come to the conclusion that it didn't happen based on the information that I read. I'm not going to say to tell you that you should believe that. You've got to go and examine those documents for yourself. And then you come up with that conclusion. Now, as it compares to the Atlantic slave trade, which is it's a very touching thing for us because that's Black history, African history, or however you want to
take the emotion out of it.
All this stuff is emotional. You know, I'm not going to hang up the phone like the other sister did. But it's emotional. These are emotional subjects, and I don't have mind being emotional. But the point is, let's get to the point. The Atlantic slave trade. I've had people tell me that it didn't happen.
On the other thing, you can't have it both ways now. You can't do that. Now, you try to give me facts about the alleged Holocaust based on your research. Now, I want you to be just as factual, just as factual. I want you to treat it in the same vein as it regards the transatlantic slave trade.
Yeah, okay. Now, I haven't done as much research. Now, I didn't bring up the Atlantic slave trade. You did. I haven't done the research on the Atlantic slave trade. I believe that it happened based on the limited amount of research that I've done, but I've done more research on the non-existence of the Holocaust than I have on the Atlantic slave trade. But if you want to give me some documents to review, like I gave you documents to reveal on the Holocaust, I'd be more than happy to examine it. And once again, I'll say Arthur Butts wrote the book, The Hoax of the 20th Century was the Presumed Extermination of German Jewry, written by Arthur Butts, a Jew, and then followed up by Edwin Black, who wrote The Transfer Agreement. Both are Jews who are ostracized by the Jewish community, but they came up with factual information that the Holocaust didn't happen to the degree, if it even happened at all. Now, if you could produce me with some documentation, I would love to read that the Atlantic slave trade did not happen.
What I'm going
to
do, I'm going to take your initial fight,
We're fighting over the Jews. We're fighting over the Jews. I'd rather be fighting over the bankers and the Jews when the Holocaust happened.
Can I finish what I'm saying, bro?
I will.
I'm going to take your initial advice. I'm paraphrasing because you said to me, go do the research.
Yes.
And I would employ you to do the exact same thing because I didn't ask you for any proof. I didn't ask you for any references. You gave me a point. I gave you a counterpoint. Now, what I'm saying is, based on what you said, you don't have to provide me with anything. I'll do the footwork myself. All I'm asking you to do is the same exact thing in regards to the slave trade, the transatlantic slave trade.
And to be helpful, like I said, you said I had to give you no proof, but I did give you some proof, and I would love for you to give me some proof. Let me finish. I would love for you to give me some proof because I think that it did happen, but if anybody disputes it, I'd love to have some information, and I'll do the research.
Because of the fact that you gave me proof, does it make it valid to me? No, it doesn't.
No.
Thank
no,
you.
No, it doesn't.
So, just supposing
that. Let me give you something to go on.
That, just because you gave me proof, it doesn't mean anything.
Okay,
wow, you defending the Holocaust?
Excuse me, this is Paul speaking. It seems that the discussion has gotten personal.
Exactly.
So can we kind of get back on the topic?
Don't hang up, brother.
How can it be personal? I don't know him. Okay, but when somebody starts bloviating and then they want to throw what they call facts out there and then you give them a counterpoint and they want you to produce facts in the fashion that they did, I don't find that very genuine at all. I find it quite
actually, I do because that's where I do my research. That's why all I did was ask you to provide me with some documentation that I will more than happy go and research. And I'm not saying the Holocaust didn't happen. I'm saying there's information out there I believe it
excuse
didn't happen.
Me, gentlemen.
I'm not telling you. You don't have to believe it. You have to believe it.
Excuse me, gentlemen, please. I want to thank both of you for your input. I'm sorry you have an intellectual argument. There's nothing wrong with having that. But it seems like it has digressed into a personal thing, and all I'm doing is asking and suggesting that we kind of get back on the topic, and perhaps you all can, you know, maybe email each other or whatever if you want to and take that up as far as bloviating and all of that. I think we all do a lot of bloviating. So would you all please help me with that so we can not make this a personal argument?
I agree.
Thank you.
It's Brother Kimba.
I know it's Brother Kimba, and thank you for joining us today. Is Dry Bone still here?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Yeah?
I'm listening. I've enjoyed it. I get to listen for a change. It's beautiful.
Well, we're talking about narcissistic behavior.
Well, I'm just going
to
say this.
Overtime now, I would like to ask if you all, N2K and Brother Kimba and Dry Bones, anyone else that would like to join in, could kind of help summarize, you know, what our topic was today as far as the, you know, we haven't focused a lot on what specific things we can see in this society that points us in the direction that there's similarities that happen in other societies like Russia and Germany, when they had a great display of barbarism, and hopefully we won't see that here on this continent. Can anybody bring suggestions on what we could do to prevent that from happening?
Yes. This is Kimba again.
Okay, go ahead, Brother Kimba. Go ahead.
Okay, but let me give my email address out in case anybody does want to email me, because you did say exchange emails. It's creditman47@yahoo.com. creditman47@yahoo.com. I want to say that first. Now, Sister Ngoni, you were saying that, could you just repeat that question right quick? Because I think I understood it, but let me just make sure. Could you repeat the question again or statement?
I was just asking if you all would summarize and if you have any suggestions on what we could do in the United States to avoid repeating history like we saw happen in Nazi Germany and Russia and your historical background and knowledge.
Yeah, I believe that ultimately it's the people's fault. It's our fault for allowing this. And the people need to become more informed, do more study, do more research, because I think the biggest problem in this country is the existence of the Federal Reserve banking system, which most people would defend to their death. But I say that no. If we could just understand the existence of the Federal Reserve banking system and what it has done to this country, and that we allowed this President Wilson to sign this bill and for it to come into place. Now, we didn't directly, but what I'm saying is we have to take more responsibility for the actions of these so-called leaders that we put in place to do what they do. And they are the leaders that we put in place are the ones that brought this Federal Reserve banking system here, and it's created nothing but chaos, havoc, and death since its existence. And it will continue to do so as long as it exists.
Well, that's a very good point. Thank you for your feedback. And I would like to add that this is the third private banking cartel that has invaded the United States, not the first. And
they did it for themselves.
They did it when the congressmen were going on Christmas break, and so it was done in secret. So specifically, what could somebody, you know, a person like myself, do about the Federal Reserve? I can't stop sending Federal Reserve notes or I'll starve to death.
Well, we could, but we'd probably be committing suicide if we did. But we got to study alternative monetary systems. I mean, there's a new book out by Ellen Brown. First book was The Web of Debt, and she introduced alternative money systems then. And then she's got a new book out, and I just read it this morning, The Public Bank Policy, I think it is, by Ellen Brown. And it's another good book exploring how, because she's running for the Treasury of California right now. But she wrote the first book, and the second book seems to be pretty good. I haven't read the book yet. But we're exploring alternative currencies. Now, I'm all for bartering. I've always been a huge proponent of bartering and at doing things that are outside of the arms of the Federal Reserve banking system as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me just say this, and then I'll be quiet and let the other two gentlemen bring their points and their summary. There's a state, I believe it is Dakota. I'm not sure if I'm right, but I think it's South Dakota that is one state that is having they back their currency by gold, and they don't have any high employment. They're doing quite well. So the other states, I think it's on the state level that this thing can be solved. If the states step up and take their responsibility to secure, their state or their, you know, area for the people in the event that we do see a planned collapse of the Federal Reserve monetary system.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much everybody said some positive things, which Brother Kimba said earlier. We got to re-educate ourselves, and not just us, our children, on the situation of what real money is. They should not have to wait as long as we did to learn who the Federal Reserve is and what type of stuff they play their lives. And basically what you just said, when we see people like states that are going into gold and silver, we ought to become positive about finding out that information. Call that state. Get involved with, it doesn't take nothing to pick up a phone and find out what y'all doing, how y'all got this. There's people out there that are just as good-minded and good intentions of fighting this as we are. Believe me, it's a lot of people trying to fight this. But, it takes, like what man said earlier, brother who spoke earlier, it's going to take a personal responsibility within each one of us to say, what can I do to make this thing more on a positive level. They don't have to win at all. As the brother say, they only going to win if we remain ignorant to the fact and don't want to react. And I always say on the show, there's two types of people, speculative and operative. And it's time for us to quit being speculative. It's time to be operative about what's going on. Take action. There's a lot of information out there. Credit Man been giving, Brother Kim been giving good information about credit. Use it. Sister who's using my, use it. We have to start using the information to be tangible. You can't just hear it. It has to become a part of you, what you're hearing. And that's where I think we are headed. I think we are going to start seeing more action from the people. You're right in going, there's two other states. I think one is Colorado is considering using gold and silver. And so it behooves us as people who are trying to get to this level of fighting this. We need a call. Stay in touch with these people. Sometimes we get lackadaisical after hearing these things and say, well, what can we do? It's easy. Some of this is not hard to do. That's why in the Wizard of Oz movie, and I'm going to leave on that, it didn't take much. It took a dog, a little four-legged dog, to just pull the curtains back on what was perceived to be a most powerful entity. And everybody know that movie. That movie was an allegory movie based that the Federal Reserve was the wizard. And so in saying that, let's not wait for him to put this stunt on us. Let's pull the curtain. There's one thing about evil. They don't like light exposed on them. The evil can't take light. And when it takes light, it has to go down. Because in all facets, light is the brightest thing. So I just want to say to everybody on this line, stay encouraged. Stay positive. I thank Mr. Talk for having this type of show on. at 3 o'clock, and I thank you, Ngoni, for inviting us, and I thank all the brothers who have spoken, so I'm going to leave it at that, and I'd like to have you, Ngoni, carry this on next week. I want to keep this going because that particular attribute of narcissism needs to be discussed because I think everybody is has had some type of run-in with this. So I appreciate everybody.
Well, thank you, Dry Bones, for your feedback, and that'll be up to Mr. Falk if we carry this over. I hope we do, too. I think it's very important that we explore these kinds of topics.
Yeah,
so
You can come on mine at 9 o'clock. I'll be glad, and Mr. Talk, too, but we want to keep – I love this subject because I'll find out that there's a book, and I'm going to leave on this note. There's a book called Wicked Rulers, everybody. You can get the PDF. It explains the same thing, but all those empires died, and other ones came up from that. So there's a positive to everything.
Are you there?
I think we lost you.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Dry Bones. Is N2K still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, were you finished, Dry Bones?
Yeah, I'm finished. I'd rather N2K speak. Like I say, I'd like to keep him in touch with him, too, as well.
Thank you. N2K, you have the floor.
Oh, I yield my time. I have nothing to summarize.
Beg your pardon?
I said I yield my time. I have nothing to summarize, nothing at all.
We thank you anyway for your contribution. I suggested that Mr. Talk invite you because I knew you were very adept in history, and I think you helped us take the conversation where we wanted to, and I thank you again for being here. Thanks, everybody, for their contribution. Mr. Talk, are you there?
I am here. I am
all
here.
Right.
Yeah, I want to thank everybody also for attending today's show. And for some reason, I'm getting little emails. That's all just reading, you know, about a bunch of craziness. Anyway, that'd be all right. You know, I'm gonna get off the. We're gonna stray away from the narcissism topic for a moment because I need to say something. I really do. Look. And I've said this before, and I'm going to continue to say it, okay? Number one, this is my show, okay? I pay to have this show come on every day, okay? Number two, I welcome all points of view on this show. Now, for someone to be complaining about what someone said, that shows me that you are very, very narrow-minded. And, you know, I don't turn anybody. I let anybody come on my show because that's what I am. I'm a host, and I let everybody come on because all points of view are needed to understand what's going on. You understand? But if you want to stay in your little narrow world and throw barbs, if that's what you want to do, you go right ahead. You do it in your little world, though, because this is a big world I'm working with right here, okay? This is a very big world. So if you don't like it, hey, you know where the highway is. Because the ones that have been with me from the beginning, they're going to still be with me. Okay, so you lately jump, come by night, fly by night people, hey, you can go on and fly away then too. Just the way you flew in, you can fly out. There'll be somebody else. But I'm going to turn it back over to my co-host for a hot minute because I got to go and do something because they're driving me crazy. Okay, go ahead, Sister Ngoni.
Okay, Dry Bones, are you still there? Brother Ikemba? Well, I guess it's, see, I see we have a new caller. Let me bring in someone from Florida. Your name, sir?
Hey, Ngoni, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Ikemba. I'm sorry, I had my phone muted because I didn't want to have no background noise, but you were saying, am I still here? Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, I didn't recognize your number. Okay.
Oh, I'm calling on the 813 number.
Yes, I see. So
okay.
It's just you and I and N2K. So I'm sorry?
Let me ask a quick question because what days are you on and going? Because I came on last Thursday, I believe it was, and nobody was, the show wasn't on, I believe. Is that correct? Or Did I just mistakenly select the wrong day?
Monday through Friday. Mr. Talk has some business to take care of, and so occasionally, you know, because I'm in training and I'm not always able to carry the show by myself at this time, he's kind enough to just not have one until I feel comfortable of doing that. And so that's why we weren't scheduled. But we're on Monday through Friday normally. I'm thinking about taking Thursdays off because I'm starting to feel like I'm back in General Motors working every day on the JOB. That's kind of funny.
That's what you got to do.
Pardon me?
No, I said you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. So, I'm getting an echo. So,
I know. I hear it, too.
Okay. I'm glad you're there. I wanted to ask Brother Ikemba. I couldn't hear him well. N2K is still on the line, too. I don't know if he has anything he wants to add. But he said something. No, it was Dry Bones. Is Dry Bones saying he's having a show tonight?
No, he's not having a show tonight.
Okay. All right. Sorry about that because he said something about me and Mr. Talk. He wanted us. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah,
I'm done, Mr.
Talk. He does shows on Mondays and Wednesdays, but he usually sends out a text when he's doing a show.
Okay, fine. I just couldn't hear. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
All right. All right, y'all. I tell you, what a great show, man. I'm telling you. And you know, sometimes everybody's not going to agree with everyone. And when you have people talking and putting out information with the passion that a lot of us have, you know, for the information that we're putting out, you're going to have some disagreements. You're going to have some back and forth. That's natural. That's part of the learning curve that we all have to go through. Nobody's going to agree with everybody. You know, however, you know, just because you don't like it, okay, don't knock anybody else because you don't like what they're saying. Heck, they may not like what you're saying, but at least they have the courtesy to sit there and listen to you. If you don't want to listen, put some earplugs in your ears and roll out. You know, that's what I'm saying. You know, and you know, sometimes you just have to, y'all try and get my pressure up. Y'all really do. And it takes a lot to do that. But don't come attacking my guests. Don't come attacking my co-hosts. And I tell you one thing. You want to attack somebody, come at me. Because you can guarantee I'm coming back at you. And I'm sure I get you harder than you can get me. But anyway, I want to thank everybody for participating in the show today. Brother in Cuba, Dry Bones, Knowledge. I hope I said his name right. I ain't mean to miss a Miss Lady. You know, everybody on the switchboard, my chat room. Hey, thank y'all for a great conversation, you know, for the most part. Antoinette, thank you for keeping things in line. You know, it's all good. No errors, open mic. H2O East Coast Ebony. Oh, so you know that's what's going on. Now, get ready to get out of here, y'all. But don't forget to move over to Ebony Empress Show. I think she's got the dating worldwide dating something going on. Just go to her show; it's good. She got something on with dating. you know, that's my sister, and we have to support each other. So, you know, it's all good. All right, well, we're going to get out of here. Tomorrow we got part 3, and we're going to be concentrating on the personal side, sex, and the sex side of it. So I'm sure y'all have a lot to say. Yeah, we're going to be talking about sex and narcissism and psychopath and all that. So I know y'all going to be ready for some fun tomorrow. And, yes, we will have some clips. We have some clips to play also. So make sure y'all be here, okay? Tomorrow, 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, and 1 Mountain Time. This has been Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk, and for my co-host, Sister Ngoni, y'all have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Until then, we are out.
Yes, Naya. Cool, Naya. Who am I? It's just the girl, them sugar. All right. Here, Anna. Oh, na, 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 na. Oh, na, 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 na. Hey! Sim, Sima, who got the keys to my bimmer? Who am I? The girls, them sugar. How can I make love to a fella in a rush? Pass me the keys to my truck. Who am I? The girls, them luck. And I, we make love to press a butt. You a babuka, get ready, like a bucket. Drop in your niggas, like your niggas, you are stitch it. Drop in your oxen, like a cow, you wanna chop it. Drop in your pick oxen, like a gun, you wanna dig it. It's like a river side up on the bank, and you take it. It's like a bicycle, so you hold it, and that's it. So you watch it, so you crash it, say you tell you, say you grab it. Girl, she a beg, you wanna ball, take it, chop it. Batman plug in, and me a move, like a electric. It's like a basketball, she take time out, be vomit. We listen to me, fella, we don't listen to me lyrics. I be in him. And they have me a drop it. I said, Sim Sima, who got the keys to my bimmer? Who am I? The girls them sugar. How can I make love to a fella in a rush? Pass me the keys.